At NEWFM, we began with Pete Seeger from his greatest hits, one of his best-known compositions, in fact, Guantanamera, based on the poem that he described to you in the course of the recording. Then Reason to Believe, American Folk Music for the 80s from Bruce Springsteen and the Nebraska album. Reason to Believe is also the same title, though an entirely different song. We heard the interpretation by Rod Stewart from Every Picture Tells a Story. Reminds me of something that we spoke about with Don McLean last week on our premiere program. He made the point that whenever a performer takes on a piece of material that belongs to someone else, his or her or their approach should be, what can I add to this? What can I do to this to make it different or better or make it my own? And Rod Stewart certainly did that with Tim Hardin's Reason to Believe. It is a song that these days one is more likely to associate with Rod Stewart than one is to its original composer. So just in case you're interested in hearing what the original was like, this is Tim Hardin at NEWFM.
If I listened long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe that it's all true. Knowing that you lie straight face while I cry, still I'd look to find a reason to believe. If I listened long enough to you, I'd find a way to believe it's all true. Knowing that you lie straight face while I cry, still I'd look to find a reason to believe.
At NEWFM, that is Tim Hardin, the late Tim Hardin, his original recording of his own song, Reason to Believe. Pete Fornital at 102.7, my new Sunday morning program, this January 2nd, 1983. Gosh, that is hard to get used to. I wonder how long it will take to get used to it. I wonder how long it will take, in fact, to stop writing 82 on the checks that we write out, maybe certainly by February or March. On last week's premiere, I explained to you the important role that Bob Dylan's music would be playing in this program, and we used as a selection for the premiere The Times They Are a-Changin'. This week, I'd like to move a little further into Mr. Dylan's career, the mid-70s, in fact, for this one.
Early one morning, the sun was shining. I was laying in bed, wondering if she'd changed it all, if her hair was still red. Her folks, they said our lives together sure was gonna be rough. They never did like Mama's homemade dress. Papa's bank book wasn't big enough. I was standing on the side of the road, rain falling on my shoes, heading out for the East Coast. Lord knows I paid some dues getting through, tangled up in blue. We'll
just that the moon is full and you happen to call. And here I sit, and on the telephone, hearing a voice I'd known a couple of light years ago, heading straight for a fall.
She must have known it, but still she went on with him, and she never once had shown it. And she took him off the street, and she dried his tears of grieving. She listened to his visions, she believed in his believing. Ah, he was the sun, burning bright and brittle, and shining back his light a little. He was a shooting star. She was softer and more slowly. He could not make things possible, but she could make them holy. Holy.
At NEWFM, that is Harry Chapin from his Verities in Balderdash album, a song about his grandparents, if I am not mistaken, entitled Shooting Star. Similar in sound to the one before it, by the way, title track by Joan Baez of her Diamonds and Rust collection. From a very fertile period in both of their respective careers, Bob Dylan and Joan Baez, we heard Diamonds and Rust and Dylan's Tangled Up in Blue from Blood on the Tracks. Pete Fornital at 102.7. I hope you are getting into this new Sunday morning habit each and every Sunday from 10 a.m. until 12 noon right here at 102.7. We are calling it Mixed Bag for now, although the ultimate title will be up to you. If you listened last week, if you are listening today and have a suggestion, send it along to me, Pete Fornital, care of NEWFM, 655 3rd Avenue, New York, New York, 10017. One of the features that we introduced to you last week was the theme set that we will do for you once each Sunday morning. And this is something that I've been collecting over the years. I managed to put them between the covers of a book once as well. Just all of the many and varied rock and pop and folk songs that have been written over the years on particular subjects that affect us all. Now, because of the holiday season, we chose to do loneliness last week. This is a different ballgame this week. This is a new year. This is a time for renewal, a time for optimism, a time for hope. And that is our theme on this second edition of Mixed Bag. Hope, that is songs of encouragement, some from the depths of despair, others from the borders of loneliness and heartbreak. Whatever the circumstances, they all suggest that nothing is ever too bad. So don't give up. Things always get better at NEWFM.
Lonely night of waiting is past.
missing the point and missing the mark.
Either life or love will fade away.
WFM, that is our theme set on the subject of hope for this spanking brand new year of 1983. We heard from the Beach Boys, their Surf's Up album, Long Promised Road. Jesse Colin Young before that, title track from Lightshine, and Crosby and Nash, one of the best things they ever did as a duo, Out of the Darkness. Pete Fornital at 102.7. Stay tuned for our second hour. In the background, that's Icarus by the Paul Winter Consort. We've got some surprises coming up, and we'll be back after this brief interlude at NEWFM in New York. I was excited last week on our premiere program to be able to present to you in the studio Don McLean. I am even more excited this week on our second show to be able to say, ladies and gentlemen, Richie Havens.
How you doing, Pete?
Welcome back to 102.7.
Long time.
It has been a long time. You have been a part of this radio station for so long, as I explained to people on our premiere, and I don't even know if you remember this, but one of your records was the very first one to be played on this station back when Roscoe started that first night, October 30th, 1967.
Boy, oh boy.
Would you honor us with an opening selection?
Sure.
Let's do it. One of the most original sounds and styles in all of popular music. Our special guest today, Richie Havens. That song has a kind of special place in your performing these days, right, Richie?
Yes, it does. Oh. It's the first song I sing on stage all the time.
How long has that
about
been?
About 4 years now.
Uh-huh. What made you choose that
song? Well, it's a song actually that I wrote, one of the few that I sing on stage that I wrote. I wrote a lot of songs, but I very rarely sing them on stage.
Why is that?
Well, I'm a particular kind of writer. I'm started out writing songs basically for other people to sing,
mm-hmm.
and basically not for myself to sing. So it's something very inherent, you know, in me. I write a lot of songs in terms of getting it out,
sure.
as a writer, but actually a lot of times it's in other people's voices.
One of the things that people credit you with or attribute to you is that in the mid to late 60s, right in the middle of that period where groups and individuals were doing their own material, along you came and reestablished the role in popular music of the interpreter. The interpreter, was that a conscious role on your part?
Basically, no, it wasn't. Basically, I never put a title to what I was doing because I never intended to do anything. You know, basically, I was basically coming from Brooklyn, having sung all through the 1950s with all the doo-wop guys on the corner, and staying alive, you know. I came to Greenwich Village, and folk music was something interesting to me. So I started playing the guitar basically to help a bunch of kids that I knew, you know, and I thought, well, you know, I got a guitar, maybe six strings, six guys. It wouldn't be like I'm singing alone. I'll try to do a few songs myself. And I love a few traditional folk songs that I liked, which is why a lot of people refer to me as the folk singer a lot of times when mm-hmm. I've not sung any traditional folk songs in maybe 15, 20 years. But it's that kind of relationship.
Right.
I think the guitar has a lot to do with that.
You know, I am not a musician, and so this will probably be offensive to the listeners who are, but could you explain the uniqueness of your particular open chord tuning? Is that what it's
called?
Yeah,
it's an open chord tuning. It's something that happened to me when I couldn't really get anybody in the village at the time to teach me how to play the guitar, you know, because they were all surviving, you know, passing the basket, you know.
So and you mean you learned the wrong way?
I just tuned it to a chord that I remembered from a long time ago in Brooklyn when I used to sing in a few church groups. You know, we used to do a lot of programs. I had a couple of buddies of mine that sang rock and roll with me, and they were very, very much rooted in the church, and his mother was anyway, and the deal was that if we sang, if he could sing rock and roll with us, we would sing spirituals with him in church as well, in a little choir, so it was a good deal, and we made that deal. He was a great singer, and because of that, I started to just come out of that into Manhattan. It was a big change in music for me, mm-hmm. from that kind of singing, from what was on the radio in the 1950s and writing our own songs.
Sure.
There. So I remembered a chord that some of the groups used to play in some of these programs we did in gospel shows. There'd be six guys singing, and the guy would play a chord so that everybody could tune up under their breath, you know. You know. And so I remembered that chord, and so I tuned the guitar to that chord and learned that I could actually get three chords out of it that you could sing about 50 songs to that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
And I started singing the songs I liked. I think that was the most important thing that I started out, that I think I did right instinctively for myself.
So learning the wrong way has served...